So next week, according to the syllabus, we'll be doing the cat dissections. The problem is that the cats that we ordered are back ordered for 14 weeks.
Oh, nice.
Which is means we're going to run a little long. It actually works out pretty well because I was thinking already about eliminating the cat component in a human anatomy and physiology lab. That's one reason. Actually, the more important reason is because usually what happens on dissection day is it takes students so long to dissect to the point of being able to look at anything that it's time to go by the time you get there. And so it's not really a good use of time. Even though cats are very similar to humans in their musculature. So, we're not going to do the cats at all. This also means that we had to squeeze all the muscles into this week originally because of holiday and because of the cats. So now we can go back to the way I wanted to do it, which is doing only half of the muscle list today and the other half next week. So the only muscles you're responsible for tonight are muscles of the head and trunk, the axial skeleton muscles. The rest of the list, the muscles of the appendicular skeleton, will be done next week. So you're using models to do these in here. But it's not that I'm just eliminating something without replacing it. We're not going to be using the cats. You're not going to be dissecting them. And so there won't be any stations on the next practicum featuring cats. But I'm going to replace that with what's called A&P Revealed. It's an online application that you already have access to through Connect. So this is a totally different reason to go to Connect. You're already familiar with going to Connect for the lecture assignments, chapter to chapter. So it's the same place you go. There's a little, on the right edge, there's a little button you can click called Dissection Tool. That will launch A&P Revealed. So like I said, you already have access to that, but you have access to the full-blown application that has everything in it, much of which you don't need to know for this course. So I'm in the process of producing a particular assignment within that program that'll include just the muscles you're responsible for, and therefore you won't have to be troubled with all the other ones you don't have to know for this course. All right. I still recommend that tonight or tomorrow, sometime very soon, just launch the dissection tool to make sure you're able to do it and you don't have any problems with your computer or whatever. You might not be able to use your phone to do it. You might have to go to a desktop computer and do it the old-fashioned way. But just make sure you understand how it's laid out, how it works. Probably the first time you launch it, it'll ask you whether there is an instructor number. That there isn't until I get that ready, okay? So when I do get the specific one ready, then I'll make a class-wide announcement on my announcements page on my website, okay? But it's probably good for you to familiarize yourself. And you can still use it as a study tool already simply by looking at the... One nice thing about A&P Revealed is that when you click on a muscle, it will highlight the entire muscle. And one of the hardest things for students about learning the muscles is they kind of blend into each other, so you don't know exactly where they start and end as much as the bones. Bones were easy, right, to know where they started and ended. So that's a good thing about it. So take a look at it. Anyway, I'll be updating that. So once I do make that class-wide assignment, then you'll be responsible for all of those muscles also on A&P Revealed. And instead of cat stations, I'll have actual images from A&P Revealed for you to, as stations on the next practicum. Okay? All right, that brings us to the material. And it's really... Other than the histology, it's really just a bunch of memorization of muscle names, okay? Unlike the bones, there aren't parts of muscles, it's just the names of the muscles. One nice thing assuming that you didn't purge your brain of all the skeletal information the day of the practicum, is that if you still have all that skeletal information in mind, it really helps you in the muscles, because many muscles are named either for the bones they connect to or parts of the bones they connect to. And even the ones that aren't named for bones still have meaningful names, like I try to keep stressing in biology in general. Pay attention to what words mean, and it'll make it a hell of a lot easier to learn these lists. I'll give you some examples in a minute, but first let's go through some histology basics. And I say basics because it really should be pure review at this point, since you were just tested about this hours ago, earlier today. If we think of a whole muscle, though, that whole muscle has a hierarchical arrangement, right? It's like a bundle of things that are smaller than the whole muscle. What are the next bigger things that are bundled within a whole muscle? Fascicles, right, or fasciculi. But each fascicle is itself a bundle of what? Myofibers. What is a myofiber? A muscle cell, yes. A myofiber is an individual cell. So remember, you can call it a myofiber, you can call it a muscle cell, you can call it a muscle fiber. Those all mean exactly the same thing. And even a single myofiber, one cell, is itself a bundle, right? What are the small things that are bundled within a myofiber? Myofibrils, correct. So myofibrils are subcellular, smaller than the cell. There's many of them within one cell. And all of those structures that we just went through, whole muscle, fascicle, myofiber, myofibril, are the same length, right? They all run the entire length of the whole muscle. Myofibrils are broken into segments, but not in parallel, right? In series instead. They're a serial arrangement, an end-to-end arrangement of what? Sarcomeres, correct. The sarcomere is the functional unit of muscle. And by that, I mean that's the smallest piece you can have that will still function to do what muscles do, which is to shorten. And in fact, it's the sarcomeres that do the shortening. The whole muscle shortens because a bunch of sarcomeres are simultaneously shortening, and therefore they pull the whole muscle shorter. All right, that's hopefully clear at this point, since you've already been tested over it. Besides, though, the muscle cells, in a whole muscle, there's also three important connective tissue layers, right? What are those? Endomysium, paramysium, and epimysium. Now, what does epimysium cover? Covers the entire whole muscle. Paramecium covers what? A fascicle, right? So there's paramecium around each fascicle. And endomysium covers what? An individual myofiber, one cell, right? All right, now, those three tissue layers are indicated on those three scopes over there. And these two scopes indicate neuromuscular junctions, where a presynaptic terminal synapses with a muscle cell. All five of these scopes, each of which you should look at, have the pointer exactly where they're supposed to be. So unlike previous weeks, do not move these at all, right? Just act like it's a practicum again. Just put your eye up to it. If you use only one eye, by the way, make sure you look through the left ocular, because that's the only one that has the pointer. Make sure you see the pointer. And if you think it's wrong because it's been moved, let me know, but don't move it. All right? I'm not going to read a list of muscles to you because I don't think that's very productive, but I wanted to use Udo's website, which is the one you've been using for the bones already. This is just the muscle part of it. Just to let you know what I mean about these names making sense. So all we care about this week are the trunk ones. This is the front view, obviously. So like epicranius, Epicranius makes sense because it's the muscle that's on the cranium. Epi means on. Just like epidermis means on the skin. The skin is the dermis. The epidermis is on that. Of course, it's part of the skin as well. By the way, the epicranius, whole muscles, as I call them, the things that are wrapped in epimysium, those are the things that have their own names, like epicranius, for instance, or any of these other names. That's a whole muscle. That's what I mean when I use that word, whole muscle. And epicranius actually has two parts to it, each of which has a muscle name. So in some books or some models, you might see it. You might not see the word epicranius, but you'll see the two individual components, which would be this front. The epicranius wraps all the way around the head from front to back. But just this front part is called frontalis. Of course, that makes sense, right? It's right on the frontal bone. And the one on the back is the occipitalis, which is right on the occipital bones. But the two of those together make up the epicranius. Orbicularis oculi makes sense because it's making a circle around the eye. Ocular means of the eye. Temporalis, right there on the temporal bone, right in the temple region. Orbicularis oris. Well, oris points to the mouth. It's a circle of muscle around the mouth. Oral means of the mouth. Right? Sternocleidomastoid. Well, sterno obviously points to the sternum, right? Cleido is a combining form that means of the clavicle. This end of the sternocleidomastoid has two parts to it. One part connects to the sternum, one part connects to the clavicle. That's sternocleido, and the other end attaches to the mastoid process. So a sternocleidomastoid really tells you exactly where you should find this thing, assuming you still know where those bony parts are. In the middle of the abdomen, we have the rectus abdominis. Abdominis obviously pointing to the abdomen, right? Rectus, rect, means straight, like in rectangle. Straight angles, meaning 90 degree angles in that case. It's also the root of the word rectum, which is the last part of the digestive tract. Before that, the large intestine is taking some twists and turns, but then it straightens out right before the anus. That's why that part is called the rectum. So the same word here. And the external oblique on both sides. Well, remember we said that oblique means at some other angle besides transverse longitudinal, X, Y, or Z. Any diagonal is oblique. Well, look at the grain of that muscle. It's diagonal. So on the two sides, it forms a V on your body. There's actually three layers deep of muscles in this area. So if you were to peel the external abdominal oblique away, there would be one underneath it with grain going this way, also diagonal, but in the opposite diagonal. And those ones are called the internal oblique. You peel those away, you get to the deepest layer, which is called the transversus abdominis, which has grain going straight across, transverse direction. So the names make sense. If we look at the back view, a couple more examples. The trapezius, which is a huge muscle, forms a trapezoid shape. Remember from geometry, trapezoids? That's why it's called that. And the latissimus dorsi, which is this huge flap right here. Well, latissimus has the same root as latitude. Latitude means width. So latissimus means wide, dorsi, because it's on the dorsum, it's on the dorsal surface. A wide muscle on the dorsum is latissimus dorsi. And similarly for others that I didn't actually explicitly mention, but that are on your list. So think of it that way, and I think you'll have a much easier time. But don't forget about this website, which is the same one you've been using for bones. Don't forget about the histology part of this same website, because there's going to be histology on the next practicum too. Look at everything in here, and then get acquainted with A&P Revealed until I give you the specific assignment. That's it.